All right, let's come back together. It got cold, y'all. I say it got cold. It was 8 below when I started my truck this morning, and that's the devil. No. I know. Hush, hush, hush. I know. I'm whinging right now. All right. Let's pray and jump into something fun. Yeah, jump into the pool. That'd be a block of ice. All right. So, Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that it's alive, it's active, that, Lord, it accomplishes everything you send it to do. Father, we pray blessing over this time. I pray that you would open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. And, Lord, we choose today that we would hear and do what we hear. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to do a couple things before I totally jump in. I'm going to have my wife come up here. I didn't tell her I was doing this. But so this year for Christmas, I tell just a little bit of a backstory. We were coming out of, I think, Anchorage. And I saw this thing, it was near Halloween, and it said 12 days of Halloween or something, and I went, wow, that's a ripoff. A rip from Christmas, you know, and it was like they had 12 different events or whatever. And we were coming out, and I pointed it out to Sage, and she felt immediately like the Lord told her, this year I want you to do 12 days of hope or 12 days of Christmas. Because the last couple of years we did a big event, Christmas of Hope, here. And so this year we felt like we wanted to do something different, not to mention we had to kind of do something a little different. So here's why I called your beautiful self up here. I wanted you to share with everybody, like, how many people, I know we can't put an exact number on it, but tell me how many people we reached, businesses, things like that.
So first off, we want to thank you guys for your generosity, sowing your time, your prayers. Even, like, there was some of you that, like, went above and beyond even, which was a huge blessing to us, because to pull off something this massive takes a lot of people. So we did bless 3 families specifically with baskets, gifts for their families, financial compensation. I don't want to say compensation, just helping kind of take the edge off of not having the money to do much of anything. We did Trees of Hope, which went really well for our first time ever. We had one at Three Bears, and then Amity put out, talked to different coffee shops to actually pass them out, because we recognized, well, we have a lot of candy canes. When I ask you guys for something, like, the floodgates open up and we get a lot. And so we had so much. And so with COVID, it just made it really challenging and difficult this year to connect face-to-face with people. But I'm so blessed that the Lord goes beyond that. His presence actually, hope actually is a supernatural force that we got to release this year in our community. And so with the senior center, there was 200 gift bags that went out, 350 bags to Highland Correctional, the Hope sign out front that I still get comments about from the community. Businesses, there was 10 of them locally that we got gift baskets for and went in and handed them to them, and it really touched them. 20 different churches that were blessed. The fire department. I mean, there's a lot. It was the government, which we're still finishing out the rest of the government stuff, because we had some issues with Walmart getting us the stuff that we have taken some of Rachel's prophetic art and actually gifted that to head people, the mayor of Anchorage, Wasilla, Palmer, the governor, and the two assembly people out here, Crystal Kennedy and Jamie Allard. So we're still in the process of getting them that. So the really awesome thing, though, last week I was sitting here, and the Lord said, this is not going to be a Christmas thing. This is going to be something that's going to mark your house. It's going to be a monthly thing. You are going to reach your community, and you're going to bring hope to the hopeless. You're going to bring Jesus. And you're going to do it on many different levels, and it's going to be very far-reaching. When we started this, I really felt like the Lord wanted us to reach the seven mountains, not just family, but government. That was the other thing. We gave like 100 gift cards to teachers that I've had feedback from, that it really blessed them. And so I don't know what the journey is going to look like for us as a house, but I do know that people are desperate to encounter the Lord, and we get to be part of bringing that to them. So again, thank you guys so much.
Thank you. So good. So with that said, we will be letting you know kind of as we move forward in this coming year, we'll be looking for ideas, thoughts of different outreaches, different ways to reach out to not just the community of Chugiak or Eagle River, but also Wasilla, Palmer, Anchorage, and wherever the Lord tells us to reach out to. A couple things. If anybody has any idea, we ran into some roadblocks with Jamie Allard and Crystal Kennedy not being able to receive gifts, like they're not allowed to. And so I know there's got to be a loophole of some sort, whether it's a gift to their office or something. I don't know. So if somebody knows how to do that, it'd be good to let me know so that we can figure out a way. We feel like it's important for them to have these gifts in their hands. It's not monetary. It's not, you know, hey, we'll give you this, you do something for us. Nothing like that. Yes. Oh, that's a good idea. I'd like you to borrow this painting. That's actually not a bad idea. That is something I will look into. But otherwise, if anybody else has any ideas, we're open. So we ran into that with the acting mayor of Anchorage, right? Yeah, but the assembly of MOA, we ran into that. Mayor Palmer Wasilla, it was fine. So I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know if it's the charters or what, but yeah. So, but that's okay. We will work around that. I want to actually jump into something that you said, and I didn't know I was going to go here, but I kind of like this idea. Hope. The very first place that I know of in your Bible that you see the word hope, it's actually the Hebrew word pishon, P-I-S-H-O-N, which it's actually not technically that, but that's how it's spelled in the Bible. So it's found in Genesis 2, I believe verse 2, and it's a river. So the Bible says that out of the Garden of Eden flowed one river, and there came a point where it broke into four different rivers. The first river it names is Pishon. Pishon runs into a city or a town, or I can't remember how the verbiage, but it says, it's the word, excuse my Hebrew, Chavila. It's spelled H-A-V-I-L-L-A or V-I-L-A, something like that, but it's said Chavila. And it actually means suffering. It actually means it could be translated a circle of suffering. But as a young Hebrew reading the Genesis, it would have been read like this: hope flows through suffering. It goes on, though, and the word gold is the Hebrew word zayim, I believe it's Z-Y-M, anyway, this is the whole translation of the verse I'm looking at in my mind right now. Hope flows through suffering, but the supply is brought out of the house of God. And so as Sage is sharing, and I'm hearing hope and giving hope away, I immediately thought about the last year that we've had. And I'm not claiming that a bunch of us were suffering, because I don't think we know quite what suffering fully is at this point. However, there was a measure of suffering that took place. And quickly, kind of jumping on terminology Ben threw out, but I, being a little nerdy here, I like to read a bit. And if you take pure gold, real gold, gold that is almost translucent, like, because actual pure gold is not quite what we see, but it's, if you were to put pure gold in water, it actually turns red, like blood red. And so in Havilah, where hope flows through, it says Havilah was filled with gold. And as the river hit, so as hope hit suffering, it actually turned red. So when a Hebrew would see red, like the Nile River turning red, they actually were in a process of suffering, but by seeing the Nile River turn red, it brought hope in the midst of their suffering. God doesn't do things for no reason. God doesn't allow things to happen for no reason. I believe that I don't know what else to call it, but the cycle of suffering that we have been in the last year, I personally am seeing hope on the other side. I do believe that we are going to see a major shift begin to take place. And I also believe that it's not going to look the way that we want it to or the way that we think it needs to look. Because we get our plans and our hopes put in something that's outside of God, and we end up getting disappointed because hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if our hope is not in Him, and our hope doesn't come from a position of putting our trust fully in Him, and we put our hope in something that we think it should look like and it doesn't look like that, we find ourselves actually going backwards rather than forwards. So I'm sharing this with you because though I believe that a major shift is coming, though I believe that hope is being released, I fully believe it's not going to quite look like we want it to look. Hello, bummer man. Sorry, but I'm just saying, I'm not standing up here declaring or prophesying negative blech stuff. I don't believe that. I just believe we have to have His eyes, His desires, His focus, His realm, His environment, His understanding, and push aside our own so that we maintain hope even in the midst of stuff that doesn't look like it should. Catch me? All right. So here's where I want to go inside this. The last few weeks we've been looking at Matthew 6 and what we call the Lord's Prayer. I want to continue in this just a little bit, and I'm going to recap briefly, and then I'm going to move forward in something else inside of it. So most of us know or we're familiar with the Lord's Prayer. It's found in Matthew 6 and also in Luke chapter 11, and it goes something like this. Jesus is standing with His disciples or sitting with His disciples or whatever. His disciples are like, hey, Jesus, John taught His disciples how to pray. Would you do something similar for us? So Jesus agrees and He says this. When you pray, say this. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Sue, for that plug today, wherever you are. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us or our debtors. Hey, I got something I need to tell you in this. Sorry, this is me. So if you don't like me, that's okay. Sage and I were having a conversation, and I promise this has to do with the Lord's Prayer, so just bear with me. Do you know what it is to actually forgive a debt? Like I know we know what that means, but it's so much bigger than like, I owe the bank some money, now I don't owe the bank any money. Or, yeah, so when... It actually has to do with more with forgiveness than it does anything else. So to forgive somebody means you don't owe me anything. It's not there's no scars. It's not it never happened and I'm going to pretend like it never happened because it will come back. Generally speaking, unless God supernaturally gets rid of the whole memory of it or that anything ever happened, we run around often and we try to pretend like we forgive, but we hold on to the debt that we feel somebody owes us because they hurt us. Forgiveness is, you owe me nothing. I'm releasing you from any debt that you owe me. This is what the prayer is about. It's about anyone that has hurt me, wronged me, maybe owed me money, maybe sinned against me, maybe stolen from me, maybe whatever, you are released and you owe me nothing. Yeah. This is what forgiveness looks like. It's a little bit different than the way that I've kind of always thought about it. Now, I do believe that you can get to the place where let's say Jay and I had a disagreement and I'm holding on to a bit of unforgiveness because he was right and I was wrong and I don't like that. And so I'm like, I'm just going to forgive him. But something else happens later and I'm like, gosh, this is happening again. And then I'm like, man, maybe I didn't forgive. Just because I remembered something doesn't mean I didn't forgive. But when I release the debt that you owe, it actually opens the door for me to be able to be supernaturally healed as if it never happened. Because I released the debt that was owed. When we hold on to the debt, even though we may remember it, it actually tweaks something inside of us that causes me to go, you owe me this because you stole this from me at some point. You catch what I'm saying? Here's the reason I'm even sharing this today. I believe we need to start this year off the right way. By forgiving debt, releasing it, letting it go, not holding on to anything anybody has done to you to this point ever. Not that you weren't pained. Not that it didn't hurt. Not that there's not scars. God can heal those too. But I'm telling you, the Bible speaks of this in multiple places, but Paul talks about many are sick and dying among you because of this reason. Because you have not, James talks about it as well, but there's a level of forgiveness that actually causes sickness inside you. It actually eats you like a cancer because you are holding on to debt that you were meant to release. So, how do you do that? Like, Jay hurt me. He didn't really. I love this man, and I would do anything for this man. But for story's sake, let's say that you hurt me. And I want to forgive you, but I don't know how. Because it's not within me to do that. That's not like me. That's not, you know, Like, I know how to hold a grudge. I know how to make sure I get mine. I know how to make sure you're going to pay me back, or I'm going to make sure you suffer till you pay me back. I'm good at that. Not really. Not really. Maybe a little. But I really want to. But I keep finding myself falling short in this. Jesus addresses this in this prayer. I shared this with you a while ago, but I want to bring something to your remembrance, or maybe the first time you've heard it because you maybe weren't here. In the life of a Hebrew boy or man or woman, they were very careful what they would actually speak, because they said this: our words are not just with us, our words are us. They're a manifestation of who I am. Therefore, before I ever speak, I will have the truth of it built inside of me so that when I release the manifestation of who I am, it will be a true representation of who I am. Jesus said, before you pray, get this built inside of you so that when you say these things, it's built in you. So he starts his prayer like this: begin to look at the Father not as the universal, the Father of all things, not as the Father of Israel, which all those things were true, and that is how everybody looked at him. But here was the kind of part that made everybody go, I don't know about that. He goes, bring it all the way down. He is your Father. He's your Father personally. This was not done. This was not okay. This was not normal. This was would have been looked at as like blasphemy is not the right term, but heresy is probably a better term. It would have been looked at like you just don't personalize God to you. He's Israel's God. He's the God of the planet, but to say that he is my Father. Now, here's... watch this. The word father is the Hebrew word pater, P-A-T-E-R, where we get the term paternal from. Anybody ever scratched your head and gone, why do they call it the paternal? I don't understand. Maybe you're not as nerdy as me. Oh, Jesus. The word pater, I actually wrote this down somewhere. Let me see. Because I think it's important that you get this. And then you'll understand everything in life. There's three main meanings of the word pater. Number one is one who generates something, specifically a family. So a father is someone who is responsible for generating something. Second, this one I find to be particularly important for this passage, and it is one who is the originator, the supplier, or the transmitter of anything. The word for father in Hebrew goes all the way back to the root word where we get the idea of a harvester harvesting supply for survival. So if you take the word pater and take it all the way to its root, it means one who harvests supply for survival, or a harvester harvesting supply. So the third definition is this: one who has infused his own spirit into others and governs their mind. So Jesus is saying, before you pray, understand this. You're calling on the one who personally, for you, is your supply of all things. He's the one who has infused his spirit in you and now governs your mind. Whole lot easier to go, God is the Father of Israel, and he governs our steps, and he watches over us, and he supplies all things to us.
but to be my supply. To be the one who has provided for me all things needed to live was kind of like... So he goes on. I believe personally that the next phrase is the crux of the entire prayer, and that is this. Hallowed be your name. Now, I have beat this up for weeks, but I want to just hit it one more time at least. To hallow something is to render, to acknowledge, or to become aware of something. What you hallow in secret, you manifest in public. What you allow to become the thing that you focus on in your private life, you will manifest in public. Now, watch. You can disagree with me on this, and that's okay, but I think I'm right. I personally believe that your earthly dad, as far as physical relationships go, is the most important influence in your life. I'm not saying the best, but there is something about a daddy that is just different than any other relationship. So, this is how I see this, and again, you can disagree, and that's okay. But I believe that as Jesus was unfolding this prayer, this thing to focus on, to become aware of, to render and acknowledge the Father who is in heaven, not your earthly father. Somebody might say, my dad wasn't even there. Like he was gone. Like he was an absentee dad. If you hallow absentee dad, you manifest absentee in public. In other words, like this. If you feel rejected by your earthly father, and that's what you think of when you think of your... Because we filter generally. We filter what we think about God through what we think about our earthly father. And if we think of God through the eyes of the way we think about our earthly father, and our earthly father rejected us, and we filter the way we see God through rejection, we will reject. So Jesus is saying, drop all of that. Acknowledge the one who is perfect. Render him as such, and become aware of the one. Now watch, I know I've taught this a little, but watch. Render the one who is in heaven, not on earth like our earthly, but heaven. So what is heaven? I would tell you the Hebrew word, but it just scattered out of my mind. I don't know where it went. It doesn't really matter. It's actually a plural. The word that's used there is a plural word. And to properly translate it, it would be our Father who is in the heavens. It is an atmosphere. It is an environment. It is not this distant, far-off place like God is way out there somewhere. We're way over here, and I'm trying to somehow get a glimpse. I'll prove it to you. The simplest way I know how. How many times have you heard or maybe even said, I'm being oppressed by the devil, by demons. Or you hear somebody say, I'm being harassed by the demonic, or I am possessed, they're in me, they're on me, they're around, whatever you might hear, think about this. Why do we think the demonic realm is right here
and we think of God as being way out there somewhere. The spiritual realm is right here. It is not way out there. This is what Jesus said. The one who brings all supply is as close as the atmosphere around you. Render him, acknowledge him, become aware that all of your supply of everything you need is right in front of you. Take your eyes off of everything else that you've allowed to try and become your supply and your hope and your desires. Put them where they need to be. Then things like releasing people from their debts becomes a real thing and not something that you go, I don't know how to do that. You're right. You probably don't know how to do it, but he does. Therefore, I'm going to acknowledge him as the one who can bring all supply to me, and I can do all things through Christ. Now watch. Where'd you go? Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2 says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. Right? Bless the Lord. I got to read it because it actually says a little bit more than that. Y'all need to be as excited as me. You got some work to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's what I was looking for. I knew I was looking for that. Bless his holy name. Why? Because in his name are all his benefits. I taught you, I believe last week, that in a name, it encompasses everything that is the makeup of the... So, let me back up so you can understand. When Sage took my name, the name Chandler, she took everything, every debt I might have had became hers. Every benefit that taking my name, which there was so many I couldn't even list them. just kidding. She became able to sign my accounts. She became able, right? I mean, whatever. Yeah, what little piddly money I had at the time became hers because she took my name and in it, any enemy I had became her enemy. Any friend I had became her. I had loads of friends, no enemies. And so you got lots of friends. No, so when we take the name of God as our own, not that you now call me God, please don't think that's what I'm saying, but when I step into the position of a saving knowledge of Jesus, the name that is above every name, that every benefit that is involved in that name, I just made covenant with, and it is now mine. So as we expand our understanding of who he is, so expands the covenant we make. This is why in... Again, I taught some of this last week, but Exodus 6, God comes to Abraham and says, Moses, and he says, my name is Jehovah. Abraham only knew me as El Shaddai, God Almighty. By my name Jehovah, he did not know me. So for 500 years, God was El Shaddai. And the covenant that was made for over 500 years was made with God Almighty. The covenant expanded as the understanding of Jehovah. Jehovah what? Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Makadosh Shem, Jehovah
you know, Jireh, Jehovah Rophi, you name it, as the name of God became more understanding and greater, so did the covenant that was being made increased and grew and increased and grew. And so as we step positionally into 2021 and we begin to look at things like, how do I find hope in a negative situation? It's found, first of all, by not staring at the negative situation, but acknowledging and rendering God in the position He needs to be in, so that my attention is fully on Him. And as I bless His name, all the benefits of that name are released to me. Now, I need you to understand this. I am not one who is a name it and claim it, blab it and grab it kind of guy. I think that there's some out of balance stuff in that, but I do think that we have not yet fully tapped into the understanding of what the benefits of being in God are. We twist the benefits of being in God to advance our own agendas instead of understanding that the benefits of being in God are far outreaching any money I might try to grab at, or any you know, good thing for my life I might try to grab at. The benefits of being in God are that when everything else is shaking, I'm on firm ground. When everything else is crazy and chaotic, I am standing on the rock and not on sand, because my house is built on a firm foundation and not on some shaking, quaking ground, because I built myself on what I can get myself. Do you understand? Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify that I'm not trying to paint this thing like if you think about God, all of a sudden you get all the stuff you want. He's not Santa Claus, right? You guys still believe in Santa Claus, right? Okay. Sheesh. Okay. Now, I want you to understand that as Jesus is unfolding this prayer to His disciples, they're not sitting there going, got it, absolutely, yeah, that makes sense, got it, we're going to focus on this, we're going to make this happen, yep, God, He's mine, you know, my relationship, it's now personal, He's as close as there, yep, got it, cool, whatever, and acknowledge, render, yep, got that, built, got it, all right, now, what do we do? It wasn't like that. It was, God was unfolding inside of time what He was about to bring from the kingdom of God that is outside of time. He was bringing it into position for us to expand the covenant that was made. This is why, you know, we talk about the covenant of blood, the covenant that was made through Jesus, that allows us to be in right relationship, each one of us to be in right relationship with God, in communion with God, in fellowship with God. Jesus was unfolding to His disciples what was about to be taking place, and how Jesus lived His entire life. He was unfolding to them for them to start to build on the inside of them, to learn how to operate like Jesus operated. So as we read stuff like this, or as the Bible revelation and understanding begins to come to us as we're reading the Word, it's not so that we can now know the exact words to say. Do you understand? Like, not saying it's wrong, I just think that it's not mature in the full understanding of trying to say the Lord's Prayer by saying the right words. It's not systematic. It's not what's the word I'm looking for? Discipline, like the right discipline of prayer. It's about learning to build this inside of who you are and casting aside all the things you thought you understood about who He is and the prayer life you have, and understanding. I keep coming back to this, but I need you to get that really it's about environment and atmosphere that you're actually stepping into. To be in Jesus' name is an atmosphere that you actually I'm not trying to be New Age or weird. It's an atmosphere that you actually step into, and out of that, we all know, maybe you don't, it's Psalm, I don't even know it now. No, it's Proverbs 3. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So what Solomon was talking about was not like, I really love the Lord, He's awesome, and now I want a Ferrari because I feel like I just delighted in Him and now I want something. It's not like that. It is, best picture I know how to paint, it is like getting lost in Him, losing, you know, losing yourself, losing, just getting lost completely in Him. And the desires that get placed in your heart are no longer the desire to want to get ahead or the desire to want your own kingdom built. But the desire is for the kingdom of God to be manifest on earth. Therefore, as we delight ourselves in Him, it is another picture of acknowledging, becoming aware of, rendering ourselves completely to Him. It is ascribing value to the one who is valuable. So if we have our motives for knowing Him, our motives for praying, our motives for being in relationship with Him, our selfish motives, I personally believe that's why we're not seeing a lot of the things we want to see. Like this. I'll give you an example. Psalm 37:4. Proverbs 3 is 3, 4, 5, and 6. It is acknowledge the Lord. Yeah, He will make your path straight. Anyway, thank you. Psalm 37:4. Thank you. How many of you have been keeping track of this whole election thing? Yeah. Wow. Not as many as I thought. You guys realize that in 3 days we're about to see some things unfold that are quite unprecedented. And so January 6th is when the whole electoral vote comes into place. Our senators are going to be put on the spot to determine, either acknowledge the vote that's already taken place or to contest it and say this wasn't right, it wasn't done right, there was too many discrepancies, too many hidden things, foul things, lies, things like this. And so I want to encourage you in two things in this. If we bury our heads in the sand and pretend like it doesn't exist and just go, God, You've got this figured out. You appoint kings. You take kings down. And so You just do what You're going to do, God. We miss our purpose on the earth. Okay. Understand this. I take zero away from the sovereignty of God. God is absolutely sovereign. But in the sovereignty of God, He placed you and I here on the earth to govern the earth for Him. And inside that positional governing, if our focus is on ourselves, our own desires, our own needs, our own wants, our own whatever, we take and pray, declare, position ourselves based on selfish desires, selfish needs, whatever kind of things we do. And sometimes those things align with the way God wants, you know, what he wants to do in the earth. But sometimes there's a perversion involved that is like partially God and partially me. And so if we bury our heads and pretend like it's not going on, it's already said and done, then we miss the whole reason why we're here to do these type of things. But there's also a flip side. If you bury your face in all the media and all the stuff going on, you also then leave acknowledging him as the one, right, who your focus needs to be on, so that you can then declare and pray positionally from where you're supposed to be. You start declaring out of fear. You start praying out of a place of like, I don't know what else to do. Gotta do something. Lord, fix this. Lord, bless this. Lord, this. And we miss the whole idea of cooperating with him. Do you understand? This goes all the way back to understanding God wants a personal relationship with me. He wants me to see him as everything to me. Not everything to the United States. Yes, he is, and yes, he, but so much more. Not everything just to Alaska. Not everything just to Chugiak. Everything to me. And when he becomes everything to me, it changes the way that I see everything around me. And then I recognize sometimes storms come because he sent the storm. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus is in a boat asleep. Storm rises up. His disciples are like, don't you even care? We're about to die. Right? You guys remember this story. Jesus wakes up and he says to the storm, peace be still. Storm calms immediately. He looks to his disciples. He's like, guys, come on. Who was that storm from? Did God send that storm or not? No. Good answer. No, absolutely not. You know how I can prove that? Because Jesus would never fight against the will of his Father. Right? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. In other words, if God was the one who sent the storm, like it was his plan, his purpose, his desire to bring this storm, and Jesus now says, stop it. Jonah's on a boat. Jonah's going the wrong way. Storm rises up on the sea. Who sent that storm? God sent, it actually says it in Jonah, God sent a great storm. God also sent a big old fish to swallow that man. If I'm not in him, acknowledging him, and a storm rises, I don't know whether I'm supposed to tell it to quit or I'm supposed to stand and let the storm come. Jesus is teaching his disciples, bring this personally to you. Recognize that God is not way off out there looking, going, I wonder what he's going to do. But he's right here with you. And he wants to tell you what to do. I can prove it. Jesus said, I only do what I hear, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. Later on, in John 17, he says to the Father, Father, I have manifested your name. Everything that you are, I have brought forth on the earth and manifested it. He later, that's John 17:6, I believe. Somewhere in there, I thought it was up there maybe, but it is John 17. Later, he starts saying, I am in the Father's in me, I am now in you, right? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I now give that to you. Go. Everything that I just did, everything that I taught you, everything that you saw in me, I am now handing off to you. Now go operate like I operated. Remember, I told you a while ago that not everyone that Jesus walked by did he necessarily heal. Could he have? Sure. But he didn't. And there's not just one. There's multiple stories in the Bible I could take you to and show you people that got healed later. Because he was only doing for the day what God showed him and unfolded for him for that day. Whatever that looks like, whatever that is, whatever storm we come in contact with or whatever storm we don't come in contact with, the solution to it all is unfolded in front of us if we acknowledge, render him, hallow him in secret, and then manifest him in public. So as we're getting ready to come into January 6th, you may not think the same way I do. You may not like our current president. You may not think he belongs in the office in there. And you have that right to believe that. That's completely your right. I personally feel differently than that. I feel like and I'm not here to be political, but I do feel like there was some jacked up stuff that happened in that election. And I personally think that it's only right to try and remedy that and do what's right to hear from the people of this nation who will govern us. But I think that it's not all in the hands of politicians and people that are making these decisions. It's actually been handed to the church to be able to be heard in the earth and declare a decision to be made that is a decision of righteousness, a decision that is truth, a decision that is just, a decision that whatever the outcome that we are declaring, right, what God's heart is. And if we're burying our heads either direction, we're going to miss the whole thing. Would you? I just want to pray for this really quick. I feel it's important. So Lord, I just declare in the name of Jesus that first of all, your church, your body would rise up. That Lord, we would put our eyes on you and not on what is happening or not happening inside of an election or senators or states or wrong voting or right voting or any of those things. Lord, we see you. We acknowledge you. We become aware of the environment that is you. And Lord, we step into the fact that you are our Father, the fact that you are the one who brings justice and correction. You are the judge of all things. And we release righteous judgment upon this earth. We release righteous judgment upon America. We release justice upon this election. I pray that, Lord, you would move on the hearts of senators that are supposed to speak up. Lord, that they would speak up and be bold. We declare in the name of Jesus that states that were done, that the election was done wrong in, that it would be reversed and done right. I declare that states that it was done right, that it would remain right, and that, Lord, justice would be had either direction. We want your plan, your voice, your desires, your president that you have over this nation. We want to step into that. So we make that declaration today that we will rise up as your hands and feet here on this planet, that you've put in our hands to govern for you. And in the name of Jesus, we make that declaration that today we get into alignment with your voice. Thank you that we see you, we understand,
what your desires are, and you're not trying to hide things from us, Lord. You work with us, and not that we are some incredible thing, but you love us, you desire great things through us, for us, with us, and so we step into those things today. And I pray that, Lord, every need represented in this room, that we acknowledge you as the one who is our supply, the one who brings all things to the finished work of Jesus. And so we declare those who need healing would be healed today. We declare those who need provision would be provided for today. We declare that we would no longer try to strive and be our own righteousness, but righteousness has been provided for us through you. So we say today, you are our righteousness. We say that today we have right thinking because we have the mind of Christ. We say that today we are not anxious for anything. We say that today we are not people of fear, but we have great hope. We have a sound mind. Lord, we declare today we are your children. We are heirs and no longer slaves. That God, you created us not to be slaves and children, but to be heirs that own it all. We thank you, Lord, for this. We declare it in the name of Jesus. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. I have two things I need you to get really quick because I prayed it and I believe that you need to understand this. Paul says in Galatians, he says, there are heirs and there are slaves and there are children. There are heirs that act like heirs. There are slaves that act like slaves. There are children that act like children. But unfortunately, there are also heirs who act like slaves. Let me get what I'm meaning here. A slave does what's right out of fear of punishment. An heir does what's right because they own it all and they want to see it flourish and grow and do because it's all been handed to them to govern. So everything they do is not positioned out of a fear of punishment or a fear of things falling apart or a fear of God being angry, but out of a desire to be able to not just steward it, but pass it on. So as we learn to govern what God has put in our hands, it is important that we do it out of a heart of being an heir and not out of a part of being a slave or a child who's too simple-minded to understand the complexities of the kingdom, or a slave who's doing it out of fear of punishment. So we've been handed an amazing thing inside of being heirs of the kingdom of God. We've been handed a tremendous thing, and we need to learn to steward it in the right heart. And it starts with first rendering and acknowledging and becoming aware of the one who all things come from. So, amen. You guys receive that? So, Lord, I pray blessing over everyone here. I pray, Lord, that we would step into a new degree, a new level, and a new understanding with you today. And we declare this to be so. We love you. We give you all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name. Give me one second here.
I just want to share with you a vision I had at the beginning of the service. And as I listened to Jay's word earlier and as Zach was sharing today, I feel like I saw the fullness of what that meant. Right when we were singing the first song, right up to bat, I saw, if I had tape, I would do it. But I saw this line all the way across the front of the room. And I heard the Lord say, there's an invitation to, I kind of took it as like step up to the plate, you know, and like new year, step over the line. And it, I don't know, it seemed kind of silly in my mind, so I didn't do much with it. But the whole time we were worshiping, I kept seeing this line. And as we went through the service, I saw more and more people stepping up to the line. And it was very holy. It was not, oh, new year, new you. It was like, this is a holy thing. And then as Zach was sharing, and he was talking about, you know, hallowing the Lord, and specifically when he was talking about the debtors and forgiveness, we carry a lot of stuff with us. We hold on to a lot of things. Things in this room, the church has done A, B, and C. The president has done A, B, and C. The government has done this, that, and the other thing. My husband, my wife, my children, my friends. And we carry this stuff, and it locks us in place. It closes up blessing. It closes up being able to, the wells that the Lord wants to release in your life, because we hold on to these things. And when he started sharing that, I saw like your spirits coming alive and coming up to this line and being like, I've been on this side, but in 2021, I am stepping over and I'm letting it go. Like, no longer is this going to rule me. And it's not a formula, it's a covenant. We're stepping into, you know, for those of you that are married in this room, when you got married, it was not just like, oh, I do. Oh, I do you too. And then like, we happily walk through life with no problems, right? It is like, you're pulling out the insides of yourself and laying it all there. Over and over and over and over again, because there's always more. There's more to love. There's more layers. You can go deeper still. And that is what I feel like in the midst of what Zach was sharing this morning, that there is an invitation to go deeper still. And it's not a formula. You don't step over the line and everything changes. You step over the line and you step into covenant. And it's like suddenly everything that he has, everything that he's prepared for you, everything that you were purposed for, everything that Jesus died for, you're lined up to have it, to take part in it, to lay hold of it, to commit to it, to give your life for it. And so I just... however you want to do it, I'll give it back over to Zach, whatever he wants to do. But I want to invite you, every single one of you in this room, to come and have a reckoning moment with the Lord, and just like a recommitment of your heart, and step over the line before you leave this place today.
So I have a word of knowledge. And I feel like it's for more than one person. I got hit with fatigue when I came in here today. Almost to the point of sick. And the Lord said, I want to heal this body of fatigue. And I know that the Lord said there's several in here that are fighting that, because it's a spiritual force. And so I want to say, if that's you, today's your day to get free of it. Okay. And also, one more thing. Zach was sharing about the Supreme Court. I was sitting back there. And the Lord said, there's a court more supreme than the United States Supreme Court. And you're seated in it. We have a seat in heavenly places with Christ. And we are ruling and reigning with him in the Supreme Court over earth. And we can declare and we can say what it's going to be. And I want to encourage every one of us, because we all have that authority, to step into that place that God has ordained for us as his bride and see that job done. And if we stick to it, we're going to see it done.
So I also wanted to add, I was reading something this morning that Dutch Sheets had put out, and it was talking about one of the forefathers that signed the Declaration of Independence, and his brother had tried to convince him not to sign it, because look at what the potential loss is for you. And I can't repeat exactly what he said, because he cussed, but he said, I don't care. I'm going to do it. And I thought about that. A lot of us sit in this room and we haven't really given a whole lot of thought to things because our lives aren't affected. But kingdom people think about all the lives that are affected. It's not about if I still have all my stuff. It's about all the people that don't have stuff. That's what the kingdom is about. It's about warring for those that are going without. It's about warring for those where justice is not being done. It's about standing in the gap and going, no longer are we going to let this stuff go on. Because I don't care what I lose. Because I will gain all the things of the kingdom. But it's for those that need us to rightfully stand up and go, no more. We're not going to sit back. We're not going to be okay with these kind of things going on anymore. So it's not just about what's happening in our nation, even though it is about what's happening in our nation. Don't be fooled to think that if I ignore what's going on, I get to go back to life as usual, because you're not going to.
Wow, so much happening. God's moving such a powerful way this morning. You know, when they sang that song this morning, Make Room, something's happening. Man, what you're preaching, Zach, is so powerful. When you said about when you recognize that God's your provider, He's everything, and you're talking about how you can release your debt. Imagine if you had a physical debt that someone owed you money and God is your provider. It's easy to say, I forgive you. Because you know that you're going to be resupplied by the source of all things. But that song, I don't know, Annie, if possible, if we could sing that again. Where I heard the verse where it said, when Jesus was born in Luke 2, verse 7, and it said, because there was no room for Him. There was no room for Him. The Savior of the world, the King of the earth, came and there was no place for Him to lay. I said there was no room for Him. And I'm going to preach to myself right now. There's times in my life where, God, there's no room for You. Because I didn't make room for You in my day. I didn't make room for You in this moment. I didn't make room for You in my life. And I feel like that song was so powerful. Not only do we need to make room for God in our life, give Him time, give Him space, but as a church, as a body, what Annie was talking about, this line, we need to make room for Him to move and do whatever He wants to do. We need to, can you put the words up there of that bridge of that song? I said it the other week, we don't tell lies, we sing them, right? We can sit here and say, God, we make room for You. Oh, but we got to do, we make room for You, but we got to do this. We got to do X, Y, and Z and move on with our day. But I feel like God's saying, are You going to make room for Me today, right here, right now? Are You going to make room for Me in 2021? What does the bridge say? Can you put the bridge up there? Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Look, guys, we have a way that we do things. It's called tradition. We have a way that we're used to doing things. It's called religion. Religion is saying that's the way we've always done it. But I feel like God's saying, can You do something different today? That's what this line is about that Annie's talking about. Are You going to get out of your comfort zone and get uncomfortable and make room for God to do what He wants to do in your life? How many of you guys want God to do what He wants to do in your life? Okay, well, it's going to require you to make room for that. So I want you to stand. I want you, if you want to come up, come up. But I want you, actually, you know what? I'm just going to stop for a second. If you want to come forward, do it right now. I'm going to stop talking for just a second. Because Annie issued that invitation. Come on. It's time to cross the starting line. Make room. Do something different. If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always had. If you do something different, God's going to move in a new way. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a hurry. Make room for Him. Don't let it be just a song. Let it be a reality. God, we make room for You this morning. Come and do what You want to do. Have Your way in us as a people, as a body, as a church. We make room for You. We give You space. We give You time. We give You our attention. We give You our affection. We give You our hearts this morning anew. We're not in a hurry. We're not in a rush to get to the next thing. You are the one thing. You're our one thing. Holy Spirit, come. Open your hearts to Him this morning. Go beyond the song. Open your heart. Open your heart. Something on your lips. It's not the worship team's job. Begin to open your mouth. Begin to cry out to God for more. Begin to open your mouth. You can say it. You can sing it. It doesn't matter. But put something on your lips right now. Begin to cry out to God. Say, God, I give you my year. I give you my day. I give you this moment. My heart is yours, God. Come on. Don't let the worship team do it for you. Lift up your voice, church. Open your mouth. Invite Him. Invite Him. Invite Him in.
2021 is going to be a year of rock and roll. And I think that goes along with Jay's word as well about during the thing about movement. That's what I hear. 2021 is going to be a year of movement. And as she was, Marita was talking about it, was what she was hearing. She was talking about resting on the rock. And I was thinking, well, that's not very comfortable resting on a rock. So I'm hearing the Lord say, comfortable Christianity is not for this year. God didn't call us to be comfortable. He is our comforter, but we're not called to be comfortable. And in anything we go through, I'm reading through the Bible right now through the Passion. And it just keeps going over and over about we're called to suffer with Him. But we can have joy in the midst of all of that. So I want to encourage you, get on top of the rock and roll with Him. Because this year is a year of rock and roll.
forward if you so desire and step over the line. Just as a physical representation of what the Lord is doing in the Spirit, and just that yes, that covenant in your heart. Yes, God, we step into you. We step into you today. We stand on the rock and we roll with where you go, Jesus. Father, we take ownership of you, of your word, of your life, of your hope, of your love, of your joy, of your peace. Lord, and we partner with you, Jesus. Lord, you said that we share in your sufferings, but you share in ours as well. It's part of that covenant you walk us through. You're so faithful. You walk us through. You never leave us. You never leave us lonely. So, Father, as we look ahead to the days ahead, the things happening in our country, the things happening in our world, the things happening in our homes, Father, we look ahead to you and we stand firmly on the rock of ages. And we hold tightly to your hands and we look closely in your eyes and we say, we will go. If you call us, we will go. You have our yes. You have our yes. You have our yes. You have our yes. We will go. You have our yes. There's no mountain too big or an ocean too wide. No storm that rages too much. We step into you, God. We commit this time to you.
Thank you, Lord. What a way to start the year. Thank you, Father. We just declare a year of breakthrough for everyone in this room today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Just want to let you know, you're welcome to stay here as long as you want to stay and pray. That's fine. But otherwise, you can be dismissed. I want you to feel like you have to stay here. So, bless you. Go in peace and the blessing of Jesus. Have an amazing day.